At 6:37, I'll bring back the meeting to order. Next item on our agenda is council action items. The first item is a project closeout for the Vista Terrace Phase 2 construction.
Good evening.
Evening.
So what we have in front of you is normally something that's in the consent agenda, but we just wanted to make sure to explain it and not keep it there in the event that you wanted more explanation. So this is a process that we go through with every single construction project. We close it out, and what this means is then our relationship with that contractor is essentially over. We turn over the final paperwork to the state, who then gives us the authorization to release the retainage that we've been withholding and such. So this is exclusively a project completion for Phase 2 that was constructed by H.B. Hansen. And Phase 2 included Terrace Avenue, Vista Terrace Avenue, and Lincoln Lane. One of the reasons why this has taken so long to get before you, you might be wondering why, hey, it's April, and really not much has happened there in several months in terms of construction, but we actually had a section of Lincoln Lane that needed to be redressed, and with the weather, they were not able to do that in a way that would be effective. So that work finally occurred. We're bringing that to you. Another thing to note here was that their bid amount was $522,240.60, yet their final construction cost came in slightly under that at $519,992.11. As you know, the project's funded through Department of Ecology Grant Loan Combination and the Public Works Trust Fund, and as of yet, also city money. And our recommendation is to accept the sanitary sewer project Phase 2 construction as complete.
Okay, staff is recommending that we accept a Vista Terrace Sanitary Sewer Improvement Phase 2 project as complete.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. Are there any questions or comments?
One question for Raven. What was the price, do you recall, on the first thing?
I can get you that information. I don't have it in front of me. You have it?
Oh. $192,000 for phase one. $192,000 for phase one.
Thank you, Jeff.
Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried 5-0. Next item on the council action items is resolution setting public hearing for the Vista Terrace ULID 35.
All right, so as you heard from our city attorney earlier this evening, the next step is to schedule the public hearing for the final assessment roll. Prior to that time, and the reason why there's so much time in between now and when we're requesting the hearing on May 23rd is so that we can get adequate notice out. It'll be in the paper. We will send a mailing and so forth, and all that shall be per state law. And the hearing itself is a requirement of that law for you to set that assessment roll. There's no other action being asked of you this evening other than to schedule the date for the public hearing for the Vista Terrace ULID for 6 p.m. on Monday, May 23rd. This resolution 1686-16 is the body that sets that date and time, and we will be taking care of the notice requirements with the city clerk and public works. So there's a copy of the resolution in your packet that is what you would be approving this evening. Ordinance 1127, which established the ULID, is also in your packet, and we distributed the process diagram to you a little earlier this evening.
Questions or comments for Raven? Okay. So the staff recommends an order to set the public hearing for 6 p.m. on Monday, May the 23rd. Staff recommends that the council adopt resolution 1686-16, fixing a time and place for the hearing on the final assessment roll for the utility local improvement district number 35, and directing that notice thereof be given in the manner required by law.
So move. Second it.
Motion has been made and seconded to adopt resolution 1686-16. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. The next item on our council action items is a bid award for the Mitchell Avenue improvements.
Well, that'd be me again. We discussed this project and a couple of times in my staff reports. This is the improvement of roadway, sidewalk, and the trail path extending from Bobless Street to Mitchell, and it will include safety modifications at both bridge approaches, as well as modifying and installing ADA-compliant crosswalks on Mitchell at the school crossings that are adjacent to the project. Separate from this particular project, or not included in the bid, our light crew will actually be throwing some conduit in the trench so that the power lines across the freeway can be put underground approaching the freeway. So there's lots of great work to be done here. I wanted to remind you that as a part of this project, we are proposing to close Mitchell for the duration of the project while school is out this summer. We will be doing more public notice as the time approaches. Contractor will have those big advance message signs up in advance of the project, and then during the project to forewarn people of the detour, and the detour will be to Peace Portal as the north-south arterial, so it will bring some more folks downtown. We're very pleased with the bid results, as you can see on the back page. We received several bids for the project, and low bid was lower than the engineer's estimate, which is always feels good. And the lowest responsive bid was submitted by Color Curcio Brothers Construction. His bid was $389,702, and the engineer's estimate was $396,759. While the project will be paid out of the street capital fund, 80% of the project will be reimbursed by the Transportation Improvement Board, and they have provided permission to award. So staff recommends the City Council accept the bid and authorize the City Manager to enter into a contract with Color Curcio Brothers in the amount of $389,702.
Questions for Raven?
Raven,
Dennis?
They'll start as soon as school is out. Is that the plan?
They might be doing some prep work ahead of the school getting out, but the bridge will remain open and the roads will remain open until the school is closed.
And they plan to be done prior to school opening again?
They are required to be done before school opens, yes, sir.
Further questions? Okay, staff recommends that the City Council accept the bid and authorize the City Manager to enter into the contract with Color Curcio Brothers Construction, Inc. in the amount of $389,702.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Are there any other further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Raven. Next item on the agenda is the transportation element of the comprehensive plan.
Mr. Mayor, I have a presentation set up to run for this, but I guess I would leave it at council's discretion. If you'd like additional information, I can run through the presentation and explain the transportation element, or if you just have a couple questions, I'm more than happy to handle those. It's a pretty technical document, but the bottom line with it is it establishes acceptable thresholds for future traffic as far as traffic congestion goes. And it's based on our land use plan. So the population that the city has projected for 2036, and then the land use, the residential and commercial industrial development land use pattern is analyzed. And essentially what I can tell you in a nutshell is it indicates that we will have about 2 times the traffic that we have now. And the only map that really has information that jumps out at you in that is the last one. And that map shows that one road segment reaches a level of service D, A being the best, F being the worst, D being what the city has currently adopted now as an acceptable standard and what we propose to continue to have adopted as an acceptable standard into the future. And that one road segment is Blaine Road, south of the railroad tracks or south of Peace Portal Drive, that during the p.m. peak hour, during evening rush hour, there would be some traffic congestion on that roadway segment. It doesn't mean it will be backed up the whole length of that orange line. It just means that there would be some traffic congestion on that roadway segment. One thing that's important to note is that it doesn't really take into account the railroad. It doesn't really take into account, for example, the morning traffic congestion that we have, because that's not a function really of cars on the roadway. If there were no train, that backup wouldn't happen. And so this is based on the traffic volumes of vehicles, and there would still continue to be traffic in the morning and other times of day when a train blocks that intersection for a period of time. But otherwise, what this shows us, particularly with the green and yellow lines, is that everything's working at a very good level of service. So there are some planned improvements in the future, and there's a significant population growth, but the roadway system will still work quite well. And that is our one point where it reaches a level of service that we consider acceptable, but is not ideal. And unless you have questions, I really don't have a lot to go into. But again, if you would like a more full-blown presentation, I do have that available.
Do you have a question, if I may? Looking at that section of Orange Road, now when there's a train that can be a backup, it seems to be several miles long on Bell Road coming to that intersection. And that's now. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, whatever, if nothing changes, that's going to be hellacious.
You can expect the train, given the same speed of train and same length of train, would result in a traffic jam of about twice the length that it is occurring now in that area. Again, that's a factor of the train, not the cars so much. Obviously, if there were no cars on the road, there wouldn't be a traffic jam, but no one would be able to cross the train tracks either way. But you're right. It will get worse, but if there were no trains, or during that hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, when there might be no trains, that traffic jam doesn't occur.
Do we know, on average, how many trains come through a day?
18.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
So, let's see, that's almost one per hour. And so that if you have a traffic jam that takes 30 minutes to clear out, which seems probable, the road is jammed half the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I see anything we can do about it other than whine, but it's simply is getting to the point where it's unacceptable.
It is a significant problem, and it is written into our transportation element as noted as a significant problem, and the Exit 274 interchange improvements are noted as something that should be done that would have some assistance in that area, but it doesn't solve the train. The moving the Vacus to further south is also noted in the element, but you're right. There's not really a whole lot we can do about it. Again, it's not really the roadway that's causing that. It's the roadway being blocked by a train. And so with or without development, we will have those backups. I agree.
I can't blame it on you. I'm just not happy.
I understand. Michael, I live on that side, too. I'm not happy.
Michael, if someone were to, 20 years from now, decide that that traffic was impossible to deal with, who would be responsible for building an overpass if that was required? Would that be the city's responsibility to build it? Could we build an overpass over a railroad? Is that us? Or?
Not knowing the details of the right-of-way and the ownership and how that would work, I don't know. I think that we would be, we have the right for a crossing there. The state has a right for a crossing there. It's a state highway. And so I'm sure it would generally be the case that the railroad would be more than happy to have an overpass rather than an at-grade crossing. So they would typically cooperate with that, although they still would have some involvement because it's their right-of-way. But who would be responsible for building it depends upon how it comes into existence or how it gets regulated into existence. For example, if this element were written in such a manner that you had to have a level of service B on that road, well, you can't have a level of service B on that road with the current configuration of trains and roads and such. In the future, you can't have that. Today, we have a level of service A during the PM peak hour time of day. But in the future, you would have a level of service D. So if you were to set a new standard and say it had to be B, then what that would mean was we couldn't have any more development in Semiahmoo because those cars would come across and would create traffic congestion. We'd also get a significant amount of traffic congestion from Birch Bay, but that's out of sort of our regulatory area. So the only way to allow that development would be to cause an overpass to be built, and then that burden would fall substantially on the new homeowners through impact fees that would be borne by the developer and passed on to them. But the cost of an overpass is only a portion of that overpass would be borne by those developers, because we have an issue today. We just discussed it. It's on the record. We have an issue today. So the city would be responsible for a fair portion of that. Some of it we would try to pass on to Whatcom County and the state. I mean, it's very complicated. It depends upon the scenario. The biggest issue for us, though, from land use planning is if you were to say we have to have an overpass, then the funding for it has to be in this plan, and it's not.
So whose responsibility is to decide between a D and a B? Is it this council or some future council to make that decision? Or how does that work?
You will be asked in June to adopt our comp plan to establish a level of service D, and that will be your decision. And at any time, there could be an amendment to this. Well, once a year, there can be an amendment to the comprehensive plan, and the level of service could be changed. Most likely, it wouldn't be changed again, though, until the next comprehensive plan update, which would be in 10 years. So it would probably come to a future council who at that point may say, this is really getting out of hand, we need to do something. But it would still come down to the idea of you have to fund it. If you say it has to be built, this plan must show a demonstrable way for you to fund it.
But we don't know how all the partners in that would be. We don't know whether the state would be willing to provide funding. We don't know whether the railroad would participate. We don't know whether the county would be involved. I mean, we're talking about people coming out of Birch Bay.
Right. You're right. We don't know that. But if that were, say, 10 years from now, when we're updating the comprehensive plan next time, if that were something that were a hot enough issue at the time and it was something the council wanted information on, When the community planner or the planning director who was here at that day arrived to the council, they would have that information. We don't have it because building an overpass there is not in our realm of possibilities right now, but maybe in 10 years it would be, and they would come prepared with that information.
Dennis?
Michael, down the road, are you expecting there will be more traffic on the truck route than there is now?
No pun intended, right, sir? Let me pull up the presentation. second.
Could you repeat this again?
How much would it cost to build a bridge from Simeon?
The only map that you're probably going to be able to see well is the one behind you. And even that has tiny numbers on it. I may have to go up to the computer to read them. One thing, by the way, the maps in your packet are half the size of what they will be in the actual comp plan when it comes. They're 11 by 17, so they're larger and easier to read. This is all the way at the end of my presentation. I stashed these maps. So right now, on the truck route between H Street and Boblett, there are about 10,000 trips a day. And in 2036, there'll be about 12,000 trips a day.
How many are today?
About 10,000.
And is that, if they put an off ramp that can hit Odell, how does that, is that just still part of the total that's coming? Eventually goes across the border, basically.
It's modeled with the transportation system we have in place now, so it doesn't take into account an overpass going on to Odell in that way. But the truck route traffic doesn't change as much as some of the other areas where traffic changes. That's only like a 20% increase on the truck route, 10,000 to 12,000 trips. In other roads, the traffic impact or the traffic change is much more dramatic. But those are residential roads, and it's because there are new houses built there. So the flow of trucks and vehicles on the truck route is expected to stay relatively static because it's not generated from land use right here in Blaine.
As I read that, it seemed like Peace Portal, the traffic, truck traffic, was going to decrease in the future. And I assume that was because they were opening up so that you could get on Odell, both off of Peace Portal and also off the truck or off the I-5.
I'm honestly not sure, sir. I'd have to go back and look at the analysis to answer that question.
Yeah. What determines the bus routes, the number of bus routes?
Demand and the Whatcom Transportation Authority, and they go through a public review process periodically and are basically asked the community for, and when I say the community, I mean the ridership, not the city, of where they would like to see stops and what kind of demand there is. But, of course, they also use what they call boardings, which is the number of people that get on, and that determines for them how much demand there is in areas. So it's really done through the Transportation Authority. So we have two routes that service Blaine now, and in the future we're likely to still have two routes, although that the frequency may increase. And then there's also in our plan the comments that the city encourages a like an inner city loop kind of thing. By the time 2036 is here, East Blaine would be built out. There'd be quite a few more houses out in Semiahmoo. So the idea of perhaps a bus route that loops through, or maybe even the Birch Bay loop goes up into Semiahmoo and then comes into Blaine, might change that a little bit. But it's really not determined by us, unless we want to start running a bus, which is not a simple thing to do.
Does Bellingham, is there a city bus system, or is it?
It's the Transit Authority. It's WTA. Of course, Bellingham has a lot more ridership and a much more engaged ridership, so they have a much larger effect on the routing and how that works.
Michael, if we continue to provide schooling and library for not only ourselves but Birch Bay, does that factor into our road system at all, that we're drawing a group of people that are maybe around 10,000, maybe 15,000 in the future?
It does. So the schools are expected to continue, for the modeling, the schools are expected to continue to be where they are, and the school population is expected to increase, but not increase in proportion to the overall population increase. It increases at a lower rate because of the demographics of our population. The background traffic level is taken into account. So traffic from Birch Bay is taken into account in the models, and traffic from the surrounding rural area is taken into account in the model. And Birch Bay's proposed population increase is taken into account in our 2036 modeling. So it's a countywide model. So all of that is indicated to generate more traffic. Yeah. It's assumed things will continue to be the way that they are. Like, we didn't model a library staying in Blaine versus a library being built somewhere else, because it's actually insignificant in the big scheme of things. Yeah. But it's the status quo is expected to be relatively the same. The school is a big enough factor that if we knew all the schools were moving to Birch Bay, that would change things.
But we have a senior center, a library. We draw people from Birch Bay because we have those facilities.
Right. And this is the traffic volumes. This is the kind of increase I was talking about, and it relates to what you were mentioning just then, Mr. Robinson. There's about 4,260 trips, I think it says, on the Blaine Road segment down south of Dakota Creek. And if we look into the future, there are 13,000 trips on that road. That's a result of just what you were talking about, but it was also, as I was saying, very different than the truck route. Net increases. It's more than threefold increase there, where the truck route, it's only a 20% increase. That's because the truck route traffic is driven by international freight, really. This is driven by neighborhoods and people moving to Birch Bay and moving to Blaine and commuting back and forth. And that's average daily trips. So 13,000 sounds like a lot of cars, but there's 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour. You do the math. It's not an insurmountable amount.
It's when we get the train traffic.
Except when the train comes, yeah. And I figure I won't be able to get out of my neighborhood at all when the train comes in 2036.
Yes. Michael, is any of the information in your proposal, will it be affected by the assessment study that we're going to go through now?
Not dramatically. It's possible that some of the road projects may receive funding that might not otherwise have received funding through that process, but it won't dramatically change that, I don't think. It would mainly be that some of those projects that are listed, I think on about page 518, 519, there's a list of projects. Some additional ones may have funding, whereas now they don't all have funding.
And one other thing, is there any problem with the county GMA proposals coming back and biting us?
In what way, sir?
I don't know.
The biggest
I'm
problem.
I'm not sure they know. So.
I think that the status on the county land allocations, I believe my interpretation of what's happening at county council is that they're going to adopt the land as far as UGA and population allocations as we expect them to. So in other words, all this modeling that we've done and all this planning that we've done, they're going to adopt numbers that match that.
There's no problem with them wanting us to increase our density to satisfy their needs?
Well, that's a separate issue, and they have... They have most recently proposed something that says 4 to 6 dwelling units per net acre for Blaine, and that's up from encouraging the city to develop at a minimum of 4 dwelling units per acre. So 4 to 6 is different than 4. Net acre lets you take out wetlands and things like that, roads, so that's really not that very dense. I'm philosophically very uncomfortable with them making those decisions, and I've been very vocal about that. However, it's not up to us, and it's not up to me, and I'm very vocal in the staff meetings, the staff level meetings. And we wrote a very strongly worded letter to council, but I have a feeling that the council is still going to adopt something like that, 4 to 6 dwelling units per acre.
Okay. And that automatically becomes our requirement, or?
No, the way that it would be worded, it would be something in Whatcom County's comprehensive plan, and it would be much like one of the goals and policies that you have in the end of this, right? It's advisory, not regulatory. Okay. And it would be their rules, not ours, and it has the phrasing encourage Blaine to. And my concern about that is encourage can become coerce, or encourage can be manipulate.
Yeah, if you don't comply, well then we'll
we won't let you annex, yeah, or if yeah. you don't comply, then this, or right. That's the trouble with that, is when it's someone else trying to encourage you to do something, sometimes someone else encourages you to do something in a way that you don't want to, and you do it because, well, you need to. So 4 to 6 isn't so bad, yeah. though.
But we still don't know whether the state is going to approve what the county's going to.
That's right. We still don't know if the state's going to approve any of this, but it's a little different. The state doesn't approve our comprehensive plans. They just review them, and they can appeal them. A little different than like the Shoreline Master Program, where ecology actually has to approve it, and they can not approve it. This is more of an appeal process.
Your microphone died.
So, any other questions on the transportation element?
Just one. There's two places where though was used instead of through.
Though instead of through. You want to show me where those are after the meeting?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so the Planning Commission and staff recommend that the council preliminarily accept the draft transportation element. Final approval will not occur until June of 2016, when the entire comprehensive plan has been updated and assembled as one cohesive document. If the council accepts the draft element, they should consider a motion which is to preliminary approve the transportation element of the 2016 City of Blaine Comprehensive Plan Update.
So move.
Second. Okay, it has been moved to and accepted to preliminary approve the transportation element of the 2016 City of Plan Comprehensive Plan Update. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried 5-0. Okay, the next item on our council action items is Ordinance 16-2879 and 16-2880, Zoning Text Amendments, Minor Code Amendments to the 2016 code scrub.
So this is also me, and most of these are really very simple, straightforward items. In some instances, there's quite a bit of redlining because there's a lot that needs to be deleted, but it's being deleted as a result of actions that have already been taken, which cause it to either be redundant or in conflict with something else in our code. But I apologize to council because I realized this morning when I was going through the packet that I accidentally attached a staff report that didn't have an attachment to it that explained what each of these code amendments related to. So more than a few of them were probably straightforward enough you could tell what was happening, some of them perhaps not. The in particular, there was one section in regards to design review. We adopted a new design review section a few months back and consolidated a couple different design review procedures. So this needed to be changed to reflect that. The process is all still there. It just happens a little differently. And then there was a section on major development, which was eliminated a couple years ago, the major development review process, which brought many projects forward to City Council for review. That didn't get deleted in all the sections in the code, so there's a lot of redlining related to major development, but we don't have that process anymore. We don't do that, and it just needed to be deleted because it basically what it said was a lot of things were major developments were conditional uses, and well, we don't have major developments anymore, so they can't be conditional uses. And there is a small section related to residential PUDs where by action of adopting our PUD code, we eliminated the ability for a project in Semiahmoo to include commercial development as is required by the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan. So we wanted to make sure that it could be built according to the master plan, made that change. And then the last one is Section 12, where there was a notice of application requirement. It actually says in our code that the director will immediately post notice for all administrative actions that have been submitted, requests for administrative actions that have been submitted to us. And it's, well, for one, we don't honestly do it because immediately is, like, impossible. And these are for actions for things like building permits and other things that are just permitted. We just basically, like, the things that we stamp approved need to have a notice associated with them. And it's an overwhelmingly burdensome thing to do. As we went back and reviewed the code, we realized we're actually supposed to be doing this for a whole lot more stuff than we are doing it for now, the way the code is written. So rather than adding to the burden, we're asking you to eliminate that requirement that we post notice for permitted things that we have no discretion over, that we're going to stamp them approved if the person's following the rules. So if you have questions on any specific sections on these, I'd be happy to answer them. That's really kind of the high points.
Questions for Michael? Okay, I think we're going to break this into two parts, Michael.
There are two ordinances because there's a Title 13 change, which has to do with fee deferrals, and a Title 17 change that has to do with everything else.
Okay, the first one is staff recommends that council accept the Planning Commission's recommendation and approve Ordinance 16-2880, adopting amendments to the city's municipal code, revising Title 13 to make minor changes for technical accuracy.
Your Honor, just to mention that both of these will require that you also waive the second reading.
Okay. And the staff is going to ask for us to waive the second reading.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. And we have a motion made and seconded to approve Ordinance 16-2880 and waive the second reading. Are there any other further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. Staff recommends that council accept Planning Commission's recommendation and approves Ordinance 16-2879, adopting amendments to the city's municipal code, revising Title 17 to make minor changes for technical accuracy, revised no notice requirements.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. So we're going to approve Ordinance 16-2879. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carried 5-0. Okay, the next item on our agenda is commission, committee, and board reports. First item is the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee.
The next meeting is next Tuesday, Your Honor.
Next Tuesday? Okay. Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee.
No report.
Okay. WTA Board, Paul.
As it turns out, in answer to Dennis's question, WTA selection of routes is highly data-driven. so that we track on a bus-by-bus basis how many boardings and how many passenger mile hours we have for every route, and use that number to cancel poorly performing routes and use it in choosing new routes to put out. We are finishing up a strategy for the next 10 years, and part of that strategy is taking an experimental approach so that if we believe that a bus route that doesn't exist now would in fact meet our standards, we can go ahead and try it for a year or two to see if the ridership does in fact develop. So far, my sense is that there is no significant unmet need within Blaine. But if I'm wrong and you think that there is something that should be considered in changing an existing bus schedule or in adding to the bus schedule, let me know, and I will take it down to the WTA meetings.
Okay, Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee.
No report. Is the dog going to be in the morning? No. You didn't see the paper this morning. I haven't read it yet.
I get up to it.
They got the sniffing dog for looking for.
Well, they were out. They were out in the bus garage.
I think that was a different dog.
Okay, Dennis, we have three committees, Library, Senior Center, and Boys and Girls Club.
The Library Committee, and Jeff,
you want to talk about this?
Yes, we had the consultant, Tom Beckwith, attend the meeting and discuss the process, his process of gathering information from specifically from the Library Committee about what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing from the Boys and Girls Club. The Senior Center, they have their tea coming up, and that'll be on May 15th, 1 to 3.
Okay.
The pavilion is really getting the use. There's a lot of people in there. And there was a question I got asked, Dave, since you get to respond to these. A water fountain in the pavilion?
Well, that's the first request I've had for a water fountain.
Okay.
I think there's a place to put one.
Yeah, they thought there was. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Planning Commission, Mr. Jones.
The only thing to report on the Planning Commission, sir, is that the this Thursday's meeting is canceled due to a very, very light agenda, and there's no report for the Park and Cemetery Board.
Yeah, thank you. Public Works Advisory Committee.
Our next meeting is next Thursday, May 5th at 10 a.m.
Okay. The next is the Small Cities Caucus.
Would you like to report?
No, you go ahead. The meeting was interesting.
So, you know, the regular meeting is held once a month, and they usually have some form of an agenda. And Jack Laus and Mayor Linville showed up and pretty much took over the entire meeting and discussed their differences of opinion about the jail. And concluded by saying they probably needed to get together again on May 15th. End of report.
It was extremely interesting.
So you may recall about 6 weeks ago, the county council sent out a resolution, and I think I presented it here. That shortly after that, the mayor Small Cities Caucus met, and I think there was general belief that all small cities, including our city, had already approved two resolutions to move the jail forward. And there was a kind of a conversation about that, and there really was a consensus that we've already done something to move forward those things that we value, like to support the proposition. And so we crafted another letter that basically said to the county council that work has been accomplished. You saw maybe there was a letter I think it was probably an editorial on a Sunday, or that basically said, we've done the work. You've done the work. You've determined the location. You know the size of the jail. You know what the requirements are. Don't go back and spend a bunch of money redoing it. Take what you have and move it forward. So that was that conversation back then. And that's still the conversation now. The council hasn't directed me to go any way other direction. So we've kind of held on that position. There's kind of this conversation going on at the county level between the executive and the council about their priorities. You know, Jack has his priority and his idea about it. The county council has their idea about it, and they don't meet in all locations and all places. Then, of course, the city of Bellingham has its ideas and thoughts about the jail, which is another idea. Everyone agrees the jail is needed. There's some question about what the size should be, and there's question about how much work should go into programs to reduce recidivism and other, you know, drug and alcohol treatment and homelessness and some of those things. I think the Small Cities Caucus originally was under the impression a year ago that the work between the county and the city of Bellingham had occurred. And when that request came to the Small Cities Caucus, none of us asked, have you cut the deal with the city of Bellingham? I just made the assumption that's what you would do, right? You get the big problem solved and then deal with the smaller problems like the small cities. And that work hadn't been done. So all of us were kind of flat-footed over that, learning that after all the work had been accomplished and from our side of it. So I think what's going to happen now, the mayor can speak up a little bit too. I told them, I said, do you need a mediator, marriage counselor to help you here? Or do you think you can do this on your own? And so I got a little bit sarcastic because I think it's been going on. They haven't been communicating and they haven't been able to find resolution. So I think the agreement was that they reached a point where they couldn't go any further. We'd run out of time. And so the idea is to bring it back on May 15th. I personally think between now and then, I'm going to make some phone calls and start pushing these guys to don't come back to the meeting to get us waste our time with, you know, your debate about your issues. Come back with some solutions. What's happening now is the jail is getting mixed up with the EMS program. Right. It's all becoming political, and all of these things need to be resolved in short order, because it's just now costing the taxpayers more and more money, and there's this question about, you know, the safety of the jail, and there's a whole debate about that. So that's why I didn't want to mention anything at my table. I didn't want to go far into this thing. There's a lot of, you know, kind of a lot of cogs spinning without all the teeth in the cogs, right? They're jumping track a lot, so as like a metaphor.
Still arguing about whether it should be out on Ferndale, too, off the back.
Well, let's hope they don't start that.
Well, you know, I think from the Bellingham side, at least from the mayor, you know, she agrees that the best location is its current location because it provides for growth if it's necessary. You know, they do these long-term 30-year projections, and they're based upon the same things that Michael presented tonight. They're projecting based upon trends and assumptions, past practices, what the law reads today, and a little bit of, you know, hoping and wishing so that it would come to fruition. You know, a jail is a very complicated structure in its use, not so much in its function. You know, it's built. I think they build them all over the world, but how they operate within a community has lots of challenges and questions. I think the city of Bellingham's interest is building a jail, but they don't want to overbuild it, and they want to put a lot of their resources into prevention. They just feel strongly that people are going to jail that are unnecessarily incarcerated. They're there for drug violations. They're there for things that they shouldn't be in jail for, but they're not being recognized, and we're not funding those programs. They have funded things like home detention, which apparently the county had a problem in the past. I'm not familiar with the litigation that occurred as a result of a failure of a system, but that was brought up. There are new systems and technologies as well as techniques that have shown and proven to be successful in other places, and they want to try that here, rather than just putting people in jail. And so I think the push is to recognize from Bellingham, let's recognize those resources and options before we build an extra 100 beds, which is pretty expensive. So yeah, we'll keep after it.
That kind of classified, you know, we were all in the same room, and I said, well, there's two gorillas in the room, and they need to get together and decide. And I think that Bellingham is on something. I don't know yet if it's going to be successful in terms of if you're going to be able to get the benefit for how much you have to pay for it. But these alternative programs are very interesting, and I think they're kind of demonstrating that there is some opportunities there that other cities like ourselves may want to work with and see if we can eliminate the number of people that we're incarcerating. I think everybody's learning very quickly that this idea that we can just ship people to Yakima and get them back in one day, you know, some of these people going there for a day and back again, you know, and that's not going to work long term, I don't think. We really need a proper jail, proper amount, and get, you know, people there from not shipping them somewhere else. We need to get them in a facility in the county. Okay, that was fun. The next one is the Finance Committee.
No report,
okay. Finances are good then. Okay, Whatcom Council of Governments, there's not been a meeting this month. And North Whatcom Fire Update, Chief Hollander.
Yes.
Hard act to follow. Evening, Council. I'm sharing with you our monthly report that goes through January, February, and March. January, February, and March. So the first three months of the year, basically the first quarter. Just point out a couple of interesting statistics there. For the year, we're at 991 calls for service. Last year at this time, we were at 800. So that's 191 more calls just in the first quarter. The year-to-date loss on fire loss, though, is down. We've got a save rate going of 89%, which is actually pretty good. We had $1,700,000 worth of fire, and of that, we only lost $198,000. So our save rate's doing well. On the second page, I put an arrow there for Blaine and Semiahmoo Station. A lot more activity this month in Semiahmoo. We're up to 16 calls out there, and our response time's down a couple of minutes, actually. So that's both of those are good.
Does that mean practice makes perfect?
Yeah, we figured out how to get there now, yeah. So we're getting there faster. So together, 84 calls for those two stations. A little further down, there's a little bit of information about new recruits. We've just hired 5 new recruits. They'll be starting the academy Thursday of this week, and that will be a 4-month academy, and we'll have them on the line in August. Then on the next page under the operations division, there's some calls of interest. There's one there I wanted to point out, the second one, a residential structure fire on Cedar Street in Blaine. That was actually Cedar Street in Birch Bay, not Cedar Street in Blaine. Just wanted to clear that up. Both of those fires were wind-driven during the windstorms. And then on the back page, I just point out that as of April 1st, we have a brand-new website. So if you get the opportunity to jump on the Internet and look at our new website, tell us what you think. And it's new and whiz-bang and modern and slide pictures and all the fancy stuff. So, yep, with that.
How long is your new website? Does the fire district maintain a Twitter account?
Fire district actually maintains 2 Twitter accounts and 2 Facebook accounts, one for District 4 and one for District 21.
Okay, and if I were to look at that Twitter site, if I were to subscribe to it, would I see something like a list of the calls or the calls in progress or something to that effect?
No. No, we typically use Facebook. Well, we use Facebook more for the social aspect of the department, things we do. We don't try to put incidents on Facebook. Our department doesn't, a lot of departments do. We just decided that that's not a direction we would like to take. We will use Facebook for notification and Twitter. In other words, if there's a road closure due to an accident or a structure fire that's going to obstruct traffic or there's a water shortage, we'll send out a notification on both Facebook and Twitter. But we don't typically list our calls. There are websites that have that information.
Understood, but you're doing what I think is appropriate.
Yeah, we use it for notification purposes. Okay. And actually, as sad as it is, a lot of times families are notified through Facebook, like about fatalities, faster than we can actually notify them. That social media is just that quick. I can go to post something on Facebook, because I'm the Facebook manager for the district. I can go to post an article on Facebook, and it's already there, posted by other people. And with, you know, everybody drives by and takes a picture with their cell phone. And yeah, before we can even have the patient out of the car, it's already on Facebook.
It's not on your site.
Not on our site, right. No, yeah, correct.
Question, Harry?
Yes, sir.
Can, for example, a renter call in and ask for an inspection of a rental that they're in?
Can a renter call and ask for an inspection? Well, they can always call and ask, yes. Depending upon the circumstances, yeah, we may or may not go. It may be a building construction issue versus a fire issue, which happens frequently. But if they're complaining about a smoke alarm or a smell of gas, anything like that, then we would go. But typically we don't know it's a rental. I mean, they don't call and say, I'm in a rental, I have this problem. Typically we get the calls that I live at this address and this is our issue. And then if it's structurally related, we take it to the building department. And if it's fire related, we would respond. Either emergency or non-emergency, whatever's appropriate.
Is everything going well at the marina and semi-MO? That all
got ironed out last year. They'll be due for a reinspection this year. Probably do that around May or June. I'll try to get that done before the 4th of July. That would be appropriate.
Okay.
And we're also working with the Blaine Marina on the fireboat house ordinance that you passed last year. They'll be due for an inspection. I've tried to schedule that, and they've asked for a little delay. They're trying to make some other adjustments to meet the current fire code, and as soon as that's done, we'll do that fire boathouse inspection, and then that five-year clock will start to tick that they'll have in order to get the sprinkler system in.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Department reports, Public Works project updates.
Keep this brief, but a lot's going on. As you awarded tonight the Mitchell project, so that's exciting, getting that going. Also had the pre-construction meeting for well 8.1, which is the well in Marine Park by the tower, and Stremler Gravel will be doing the well house improvements and all the pipings. That well has been put in, was put in let's say 2010, something like that, and we're now going to be putting it into service. And well 5.1, which is in the watershed, will be getting a bigger pump and will be a future project that will be an open bid. The well 8.1, we actually used our small works roster. The next station stop policy meeting has been scheduled for May 20th in Seattle. It's again being done as a simulcast, so if you want to listen in via a website, there's a link. They'll be reviewing the draft document. So if you're interested and you haven't received a copy of the document that they're going to be discussing, let me know, and I'd be happy to get that to you. I will be participating remotely. So I'll be sitting in again. It was really cool last time. Literally had a view of the room and can see who was talking and everything else. So very well set up. State's on the ball with that one. Meeting with Senator Erickson. I guess I'd like to know who is interested. I know the mayor. I spoke with Senator Erickson this morning. He is pretty available next week, so I just need to know what times work. And I've left messages for Senator Van Werven and Representative Van Werven and Representative Bies about joining us. Thinking three's better than one, or, you know. And the idea for this meeting is to discuss how we can refund the I-274 budget, which was defunded from the state budget this year. That was previously on the budget for 2023. It's still on the budget. It just has no money attached to it, and we want to change that. I did speak to Representative Van Werven at the chamber meeting last month. I sat next to her, and she's very on board with developing a strategy to making this happen. So anyway, let me know if you're interested, and let me know your schedule so that I can pull that together. Also looking for a council member or two that might be interested in being a judge on June 2nd for the fourth grade water awareness poster. It's a one-hour commitment, and it's a lot of fun. So if you haven't done that before, would love to be able to introduce you to that experience. I know, Mr. Mayor, you've done that before.
What grade are those?
Fourth.
They're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun.
So,
what date is that?
That is on June 2nd, sir. All right, yeah. So continuing on, we also, as a part of our annual meeting last year with Birch Bay, we talked about having a joint study session to talk about the North County water supply question and the DOE grant that Birch Bay acquired. One of the dates that we discussed was having a special meeting on May 16th. It's a regular Monday, but it's an off Monday. Is there interest in that? My concern is that Birch Bay would like to do a press release when they sign the grant contract, and I don't want you to be getting questions from your constituents without having had this opportunity. If it's of concern or question for you, we would bring our consultant in. We'd have the Birch Bay board here and discuss any questions or concerns. Anyway, should I try to get that scheduled?
I'm not available that day.
You're not? No. Okay. All right. So we should look at other dates, or are you?
I would like to participate if I'm available.
Okay.
We can choose another date.
Is it of interest to the rest of you? Not to you?
Do it just fine without me.
Okay. All right.
This is, I think, something that we need to be involved with.
I agree, and I don't want to be wishy-washy about that. I want to make sure that you're all on board with this and it's a direction we want to go. So I think we just need to look for some alternative dates then. Yeah.
And in part, that is because of what some members of the general public feel about Blaine Water.
Mm-hmm. So. Very proud, I know.
If you want to walk down the street, you've got wise to show up.
All right, so I'll talk to Dan about a different date besides the 16th. We could do it as a study session, but it would not include the Birch Bay Board. So that's another option. The Birch Bay Board's already heard this. The idea was to have some converse on it, but to just have a study session also would work. Okay. Okay. And then, Sherry, you're going to talk about the April 28th? Okay. The last thing I had, and I don't know if maybe the other two council members might have been a part of this, but I'm hoping to strike up your memory. When we did the Second Street project, apparently there was a lot of conversation about the streetlights and a lot of desire for those lights to match the lights that were going on in the roundabouts. We are having some real issues with the lights. The actual fixtures themselves have been falling off and landing on the sidewalk. And they're incredibly expensive to replace, $3,400 for two. We've already lost three. We replaced one. Now we've lost two more. I have a picture if you'd like to see it, but we would like to essentially replace the fixture, not the post, but the fixture with a standard cobra head, but paint it green. Do you care enough to see a picture? Nobody?
I'm okay with it.
So we're going to go ahead and replace, there's five lights. We're going to replace all five with cobra heads, unless I'm hearing a lot of concern. Because it's the fiscally prudent thing to do, and it's public safety.
Wasn't Bonnie was hot to trot on the lights?
She's not here.
Yeah. I think it was Bonnie that was second. I don't, you know, to me, I'm fine. I mean, yeah. It's a safety issue. Let's fix it.
Yeah.
I don't want it dropping on somebody.
So from whom we bought these from, are there any recompense from them?
I don't think so. They were purchased from an outfit in Ottawa originally, but the project is so many years past now. But it's clearly a design defect that only exists in the 30-foot poles because it's not happening on the arterial poles in the roundabout. But anyway, we'll make sure they're painted the same color and do our best. Thank you very much for your...
Must have been a bad engineer.
Before you go, yes, have you got any updates on Kane Creek? Are we making progress in that area with the camera?
We are. We actually met on... Bill Bullock, assistant director, did a little presentation to the Public Works Advisory Committee and kind of went over some of the fine points of the first year of data. And so we're getting ready to start our second dry season analysis. Were there any take-home bullet points that were meaningful to you in that meeting?
He said there was apparently a leak or something west of Mitchell. Somewhere in that area where they were been testing.
Mm-hmm.
So they were.
We have been very successful with the sewer camera. We are the envy of the small cities in Whatcom County for getting that through a grant, let me tell you. And have tested numerous lines and did find one area that our crew can be addressing. So that's great, too.
Yeah, there was a break-in.
Yeah, that's right. He said it the pipe just had shifted in position. So it gives us really good information to look at for future projects.
If you write a report on that, I'd just kind of like to know how that's progressing.
Sure. Yeah.
It's an interesting project. I'm sure the rest of the county is very envious of what we're doing.
We do have quite a bit on our website as well, everything that is coming
I'll
in.
I'll check it out.
Right on. And I'll let Bill know that you're interested maybe in a short study session or something.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions?
Okay. I don't think so. Okay. Community Development Services.
No report, sir.
No report. Public Safety, no report. Administrative Services, not to be forgotten.
No, not to be forgotten. Thank you. Raven kind of alluded to April 28th. What it is AWC is hosting a forum in Wenatchee on emergency management and how community leaders such as council members could get involved. They have a webcast that will be provided at the same time. The city does have to pay for it, but I could set it up in the council chambers for Thursday. It is from 9 to 3, I think. They have lunch at 11:45 to 12:45. So let me know if you're interested in
it, and I could
work to set it up.
What date's that?
It's this Thursday. I'm sorry for the short notice, but I think overall we kind of got a short notice on it. But it is this Thursday from 9 to 3, so it is a long session with the lunch break and... the other option is for me to contact AWC and see if maybe they record that so we can put it out there and council members and staff and anybody else could watch it at their own pace. You know, let me go ahead and contact AWC and see if they'll record that. And that might be the best bet then?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really for your core view, so to make it accessible.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. City Manager.
Just a brief report. Last week, many of you attended our launching of the Facilities and Strategic Economic Initiative. I thought it was a great meeting, well attended. The mayor did a good job of introducing everyone. I made a little presentation, then we turned it over to Tom Beckwith, who talked about what the plan was and how we're going to implement it, and then has since met with several groups, including the library last week. I met with staff and some others. So the next couple of weeks, there will be lots more opportunities to get together with him. We'll post those meeting notices, that if you haven't been to one, you're welcome to come to one. We'll also reproduce the schedule so that people can see what that looks like, and we'll be doing reports to the council. But thank you for attending, if you were here. I think there were probably like 60 people maybe. It was really well attended. We got some positive feedback from it. That's
Dave,
been the highlight of the week.
Is that Stan Watkins, his architect?
I don't know the name. I get the list of the, he's got five or six subconsultants that do various parts of the project for him. I can get you the names of.
I talked to him before the library meeting.
Oh, okay.
And he said that was impressive, the number of people that showed up.
Yeah, it was
he
great.
He said a lot of times they only had like 10.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was good.
We seem to be able to get notices out pretty well. I don't know what that is. I think a lot of people contact other people.
Well, I think too, some things are of interest to people, and you know, everyone there is an interest in some form of facility. You know, the library, friends of the library, and you know, they're interested in a remodel or some addition or some improvements. And so I think there's a lot of interest in that subject from different places and different parts of the community, the chamber, and just the general population. So I think it's going to be a good process. Obviously, there's been a lot of work that's been done. That's been terrific work. The Parks and Open Space Subcommittee did a wonderful job. The Parks and Cemetery Board reviewed that and submitted their version of that. So a lot of work has been done that was been recognized, and those guys are going to be met with again to revisit that, so we don't have to do all the work, but there's going to be a pretty thorough analysis. And of course that will be vetted through community meetings, and then ultimately we'll come to the council for final decisions on priorities. And that's what we had talked about last winter when the facilities or the open space committee presented their list, that we would come back and revisit this. So now you're going to get a comprehensive list of projects and activities that will be prioritized and estimated costs for.
There was a couple of things I was thinking of. Is Tom going to be at the Chamber of Commerce? Is he going to?
I think so. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I believe he is.
He will be meeting with the Chamber of Commerce.
I just wondering if he was going to be at a meeting. Okay. What about the Simeomo Men's Club? I think he would be.
Sure. We could probably organize that.
Yeah, I think he'd be good for
that.
I
could talk to Martin or somebody about that.
Because don't you think, Paul, that a lot of people in Simeomo would be interested in the Men's Club?
Yeah, he would. Do you think he has a presentation?
Yeah.
No,
at the men's club.
No, I understand. But he could go there and he could maybe talk if anything to do. Or he could go there with a specific idea of eliciting information from the members. And I'm suggesting that at least half the time should be used for the matter.
I think so. You're right. I think you're right.
Let me give him a call. I've got some other things I need to talk about.
I think that's a good group because those people are actively involved in that area. And I think they could. They would really appreciate hearing from you.
It was interesting. There was an individual at that first meeting that was not a voter that spoke up about wanting to have information.
I suspect there were several people that lived outside the city limits. And I know that because I lived in Birch Bay Village, and there were a couple people from our neighborhood that were there. Because they have interest in the library. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. How is our calendar doing?
Well, based on Michael's update tonight, I did cancel the Planning Commission meeting for Thursday 28th. I put that on the calendar.
Okay. And you've got this Thursday meeting? That's, or are you going to figure something out for the Thursday?
Yes, AWC? I will contact AWC and see if maybe there's another way we can do this. Okay. So council members have the time to review those.
Will you email us on that, or will you do something on the
report? I definitely will.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any unfinished business?
The hunting letter.
Yes, Mr. City Manager. We didn't get an opportunity to discuss hunting at our study session, but I would like to offer a suggestion that the city prepare a letter for the county council suggesting that we would appreciate it if they could change the hunting regulations for, what is it, Drayton Harbor? And you can mention that I think people who live around that area are complaining about the noise in the mornings, and if there's some way that they could change the regulations, either eliminating hunting or maybe suggesting that they limit the season or something. Something could be done.
So we'll find out how much authority they have versus what the state may be involved with. But
yeah.
I've also considered whether a resolution might be an appropriate tool. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it really does speak to the resolve to work that. So I'll talk with, we have already spoken with the sheriff already with him once. I'll follow up with that.
Okay.
And I would ask that the area be extended not only Drayton Harbor, but the Semiahmoo Bay, if that's the correct name, so far as it parallels the city of Blaine, in other words, Boundary Ridge.
Yeah. And I'm sure the chief will have some input on that as well, as they are the ones that sometimes get calls about people complaining that people are shooting guns off close to their residences, and that gets to be an issue.
Yeah, once you're in a boat, you're legally able to hunt.
Yep. Yeah. So, but it's the noise factor, particularly early in the morning. That's true. That's true. Okay, any council new business? Okay, hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:56.
Out of here. Dave?